AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app. AM 570, an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peet.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peet.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
And we continue on, Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet on AM 570 LA Sports. This hour we welcome in our buddy, Vinny Bonsignor. And Vinny, how are you today?
Doing good. It's getting a little toasty here in Las Vegas. It's climbing to 105 today, so getting the
full
throttle of Las Vegas. But the good news is casinos and hotels are scheduled to reopen in that June 4th, June 3rd. Little window, so everyone's getting geared back up to finally get back on track here.
Love it, Vinny. Put $100 on black for me.
All right, man. You got it. Always bet on black.
Hey, Vinny, can you just settle an issue Rodney and I have?
I'll try.
Okay. So we were talking about the fact that NBC's developing technology. If there are no fans in stands, and even, I guess, if there are now, where fans at home will be able to hit buttons on an app on your phone, and you'll be able to pipe in crowd noise, cheers, boos, yay, that kind of stuff. And I think if it worked, it's really going to enhance a television broadcast, and they're working on it right now. So a Japanese company may be a little further down the road on this, and we were talking about the fact that they've got the technology and they're testing it. And Rodney thinks that the only thing that will be allowed is cheering, not jeering. Now, we have a report, Rodney. We have a report, and we're going to play a little of it now. Let's hear what Vinny has to say, okay? Is that fair? So we can settle it once and for all?
Sure.
Okay, here we go.
When watching TV or a stream online, viewers can tap to send applause, cheers, woo! Jeers, claps, and so on to the venue That's for different all. Situations.
Stop. Cheers, jeers. Did you hear jeers?
I heard jeers, yes.
I heard it that time. I heard the jeers. I'd admit to it. I heard the jeer. But tell me, what's a jeer?
Jeer
is, it's a boo, basically.
What is it? Isn't that, no, a boo is a boo. What's a jeer?
Okay. Well, you know what? On a family station like this, you probably can't exactly say what a jeer is. But a jeer, I've heard it all. And a jeer can take on many different forms. Probably nothing that we want to talk about here, but yes, it's expressing something negatively, towards somebody usually.
Webster says jeer is making rude and mocking remarks, typically in a loud voice.
Yes.
There you go.
Okay, so you're thinking that's better than people booing.
Yeah. If people are booing, for instance, I mean, if New England's playing, you know, or say the Astros are playing, wherever they play.
All right.
It'll be all boos.
Right. So now it'll be catcalls and jeers.
Yeah, but I'm saying if they can boo, you're not going to hear any cheering if you're the Astros. Why would they want that in the stadium?
I mean,
they're going to get it when real fans can come back anyway. Why would they want to have it piped in and fans can control it? Do you imagine? Will there be any cheers for them?
Well, I'll tell you this, if you put it on, you know, who's paying the bills here? Television, right? So let them jurisdict it. So it's not the teams. The teams have nothing to do with whether it's a cheer or a jeer or whatever the case might be. It would all be controlled by television and by viewers.
No, but it's controlled by the fans, Vinny. The fan, the individual fans at home.
It is, but through television, okay? So I would say take it out of, like you're right, the Houston Astros, if they had control, they would never let a boo or a jeer or anything like that be part of the process. But if you take it out of the team's hands and let television kind of control it or be the middleman, then you're going to get a true account and a fair account and an honest account of what fans are feeling.
So you're going to let them decide, okay, let's cheer them right here and not boo the home team and only cheer the home team? Even if the home team does something
no,
bad.
No, I think what television should allow is for it just not unfiltered. I mean, you have to have some sort of control over it, but I think whatever pipes in. You can't and
yeah, but then like I said, with the Astros, it's gonna get they're gonna get booed the whole time, the whole game.
They're gonna get booed all the time wherever they go anyway. So that'll be an honest account.
Right. I'm saying they're gonna get booed when fans come back for sure.
Yes.
Why would they want it when there's no fans in the stands?
Well, to answer your question, I would say if you don't want that, don't cheat. How about not cheating? Whatever they get, they deserve. I don't feel sorry for them.
We pass that part.
Or just forfeit.
Or just forfeit.
Right, just don't show up.
So you want to watch an Astro game, and you still happen to be an Astro fan, and all you're doing is watching them at home in Houston, and while you're watching them, it's nothing but booze the whole time.
That's right.
Turn down the volume.
Yeah, turn down the volume, because you know what? They have to deal with the pain.
And you're saying the players hear that, too, at home.
So the players would
hear that in the stadium, in their own stadium. And that's realistic. Because even when they play at home after this, they'll still be cheered at their home park. So you're saying at home, they're going to get booed too at their own park. That's realistic.
Well, if their fans are watching the game, they're going to have the right to cheer too. So it's going to be probably
But the majority, Fred said that they said that anybody around the country, around the world can click this button.
Right. In other words, it'll have the game. So it's Astros, Dodgers.
Yeah.
Okay. If it's on there, you click that game, now you're in.
So everybody except for the state of Texas would be booing, and that would drown out the cheers.
Well, yeah, exactly. Now, here's my question. Is this just going to be on nationally televised games, or, you know, when the Dodgers, let's say the Dodgers network has a game, you know, are they going to have that technology as well?
That I don't know.
Or is it just the national games?
I don't know. I know NBC's working on it, and this company in Japan has it, and they're already trying it out now.
Just let the DJs go do their thing. Let the DJs at the stadium do their thing, play their music, and then you sell the soundtrack afterwards.
Oh, that's smart.
Ooh, businessman. I like it.
You heard it here first.
Sounds like somebody who's done a reality show. Somebody knows how to make money.
No,
it sounds like to me somebody who's done a reality show, somebody that sold a weight loss product.
Find a way, baby. Find a way.
Somebody who knows how the real money gets made.
That's right. All right, talking about real money, Jalen Ramsey. Now, Vinny, he said there's nothing to worry about here. We're going to get this worked out. I'll show up even if I don't have a new deal in place, which I like. At least he's into it. The talk is about $20 million a year. Is that what you're hearing?
Well, he's definitely going to reset the cornerback market. And guys that play as well as he do are a pretty rare commodity. So, I think it's going to be north of $20 million.
Yeah, it's the new position. It took over for running back, right, in terms of guys that got to get paid. I mean, corners were always valuable. It was always, you know, quarterback, you know, left tackle, then a great pass rusher. But a cornerback is certainly a valuable commodity that, especially nowadays, you need to have a lockdown guy. Every team needs to have some sort of a lockdown corner, and he's one of the top two, three in the league. And it seems, Benny, that he's got a great attitude about it too. He's like, it's going to get done. He's not contentious about it. And he's saying the right things. Hey, I'm coming to training camp. I'll be there. You know, we'll get it worked out. Instead of saying, I'm not showing up unless they have me a deal. I mean, he's not saying those things. So it feels good that he's doing it that way and doing it the appropriate way, I would say, or the mature way.
Yeah, and usually that kind of is a strong indication that he's probably hearing what he wants to hear behind the scenes from his agent and the agent's dialogue with the Los Angeles Rams. I mean, if they were, you know, two continents apart on the money and it just didn't look like it was going to happen, then I think you would be probably hearing a different response from Jalen. And I could say this, you know, he got traded I was there a few weeks, maybe about a month or so, you know, after he got traded. And he just seems like a guy that fits perfectly in Los Angeles. Loved the swagger and the confidence and what he brings to a defense. And, you know, when you're talking about a great cornerback like that, you're not just talking about his ability to basically take away a side of the field or take one guy out of the game. You have to look at it, how it impacts the rest of the defense, because when you do have a guy that can lock somebody up man-to-man, that frees a defensive coordinator up to be able to do more in blitz type of things, because you don't necessarily need to give him help on somebody. So that frees up another body in your blitz packages or to double team somebody else. So it's not just him making an impact solely or individually and or just taking one guy out of a game. It also impacts the rest of your defense.
Vinny Bonsignor is with us, Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on AM 570, LA Sports. Rams have a new defensive coordinator, and they're going to switch things up. Is that going to help them or hurt them, given the pandemic and the situation, and how much time they really have to put everything in, Vinny?
Well, it might be an adjustment early on, no question about it. Anytime you have a new defensive coordinator, a new scheme, there's going to be an adjustment. There's going to be a learning curve. And the fact, you also have to throw in the fact, and I don't know if this helps or hurts necessarily, but it probably will cause a little bit, of a transition period. You're also adding a whole bunch of new players too. It's not just a new defensive coordinator taking over an experienced unit that's coming back intact. You have new faces at multiple different positions. So you have to get all of those guys on the same page. And right now they're missing so much valuable on field time where you can, develop some chemistry with your teammates, get to know your teammates, learn your drops. You know, it's one thing to call a number out on what the drop is, but in a classroom, but then go actually execute it in real time with a real offense that you're operating and defending. So there's a lot of challenges to it, but one thing that I've heard about this staff, one thing I've always been impressed with Sean McVay and the coaches that he usually, brings in, they're really good teachers. And I think if that's, true to what's been happening in the past, I think they're maximizing their time right now in the classroom because he puts a premium on teaching. So I think they're going to be covered in that regard. Now they got to get on the field, and we don't know exactly when that's going to be, although there's some positive signs that it might be sooner than we think, where guys can actually, coaches and players, can start getting back into buildings in time to get some sort of a mini camp going before training camp. So keep our fingers crossed.
Vinny, with that being said, I mean, Fred and I, we just debated back and forth, and he bashing baseball being, the last league, or dragging their feet and going through terrible negotiations where everybody else is just ready to go. Had to remind them that everybody's going through negotiations. And same with the NFL. You just mentioned, they talk about them being back in June and time to get a mini camp in. But are they on the same page with their union? Because it seems like, the union struck back right away. Said, wait, not so fast. We got to make sure everything's right.
Yeah, and no, there's no question that owners the NFL, the league, and the owners are working directly with the NFL Players Association, and you're going to have to get that cooperation. The owners can say what they want, but if they don't have an okay from the players, then obviously there's trouble. And this is a pretty deep-seated situation. You're not just talking about, hey, when can we get back onto the field? It's, are we safe to get back on the field? What are the ramifications? What are the protections in place? Because, all of a sudden,
there's negotiations. Are you talking about there's negotiations in the NFL, Benny?
Yes. Yeah,
no way.
There are.
Fred, are you hearing this, Fred?
Did you say something?
And I think when I say negotiations.
Did you say something, Rodney? I'm sorry.
When I say negotiations, we'll have to find out if any of this has anything to do with finances, because right now the NFL hasn't lost any revenue. They haven't lost any games yet. So that's the one. Baseball is losing games. While we're talking right now, there's revenue that's being lost because there's not a game being played today, or there's not a bunch of games being played today. The NBA has lost revenue. So for those leagues and their players, they have to somehow, some way figure out the pay aspect of it when millions upon millions upon millions of dollars not only have already been lost, but is being lost right now as we speak. The NFL isn't in that position. They don't start losing any revenue until games are actually affected. And the great news for the NFL is no games. Think about it. The COVID-19 basically started, depending on what timetable you want to look at, right after the Super Bowl. The NFL got its season in and now has been able to kind of sit back, not lose any games, learn. I mean, obviously some things have been affected, but nothing payroll wise, nothing revenue wise has really been affected. So when I talk about negotiations with the Players Association and the owners, I'm talking more about provisions, safety requirements, making sure that when they step on that field, when they get back into locker rooms and meeting rooms and together in close quarters, that it's all going to be done on the up and up. Everything's going to be followed. All the protocols are going to be adhered to. And that players are going to be safe. Now, if they start losing games, then money is going to come into play as well. But I don't think we've gotten to that point with the NFL, as opposed to baseball and the NBA. There's definitely money ramifications in both of those sports.
Hey, Rodney?
Yes, Fred?
You know our listener, Crazy Sniffable?
Crazy Sniffable.
You know what that person tweeted?
What?
Rodney been day drinking. Cheers, homie.
Rogan and Rodney.
AM 570.
570.
LA Sports. All right. We're going to give you...
Crazy Sniffle. How dare you?
That's right. We're sniffing it. We're going to give you five NBA records. And you tell us the toughest record to break. That's next.
Uh-huh. Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan. On a hump day, Wednesday, coming back at you with a little loose ends, Fred, from back in the day. Loose ends? Yeah, little jams back then. Mm-hmm. Hanging on a string right here. Ronnie, good pull. You got me hanging on a string, Fred, with this whole baseball players don't want to play, huh?
No.
Yeah, that's what you said.
That's not what I said.
You said the players, baseball players don't want to play. Right, basketball players want to play. Hockey players want to play. And you called out the baseball players saying that they don't want to play.
All right, Vinny.
They want to negotiate. They don't want to play.
Okay, fine. Vinny, here's the deal. I made this point. NHL, they're ready to go. They've got the plan. They're going to start end of July, mid to end of July. NBA, I think, will have it wrapped up by the middle of next week. We'll know what they're going to do, and they're ready to go. All these negotiations have taken place behind the scenes. I mean, some with the NBA have leaked out. But overall, they're pretty much set, and everybody's given the indication, we want to do this. In baseball, because of the fracture between Major League Baseball and the Players Association, we're not hearing, we're all in. We're hearing, well, they're screwing us on money, and they kind of are. I got to be honest with you. They kind of are. But people don't want to hear that right now, Vinny. People want to hear, as we restart and reopen, they want optimism. They want everybody to get in there and go. They want their entertainment. They want their sports. I think baseball, all of it, is muffing this right now.
And I agree. Rodney, but you are hearing more about financial implications. You are hearing more with Major League Baseball players, and you know, maybe even an unwillingness to play for anything less than they were going to make had they played a full season. So now I don't know if that's just posturing. I'm sure a lot of it is, but there's a financial aspect to this that right now, you know, they're not on the same page, that the Players Association and ownership isn't on the same page. And most of it has to do with those financial implications. So, and I'm with Fred. I don't think fans want to hear that right now. They don't want to hear that you might have to take, a quarter less than what you were going to make had you played a full season or whatever the case might be. But that is what you're hearing. And a lot of this has to do with that. So, and you're not hearing that from other sports. Now, again, I go back to this. Baseball has lost, you know, where are we? We're in getting ready to be in June. So it's already lost a couple of months of the season. And that's revenue. That is revenue that can never be made back. And the owners are saying we have to account for that. Because that's how the players are played or get paid during the course of the season, based, you know, off of revenue and TV deals and all, you know, attendance, everything goes into that to help pay the players during the season. And that was lost. So how do you account for that? And the players are saying, well, it's not going to come. It shouldn't come out of our pocket. And owners are saying otherwise. And right now you have a little bit of an impasse.
You know, and the thing is this, it's a question of posturing and positioning. We had Scott Boras on, Rodney, a week and a half ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was perfect. I mean, and he is. I mean, Scott Boras, for God's sakes. And he was making the point of how, because Rodney asked the question, baseball is positioning the players in a bad light. Baseball is doing that to the players because of the way this is handled. And that partnership just isn't strong. It is always so contentious. And at this point in time, for the good of everything, right now, they need to put that away. They need just to get it worked out and get restarted. They have to renegotiate the collective bargaining agreement next year. Okay, worry about it then. Fight then. You shouldn't be fighting. And it's the owners as well. You should not be fighting right now. Just get going. Figure something out. That's what people want.
Yeah, and I don't know that trust has ever really been there. You can go all the way back. And, you know, when I'm talking about all the way back, I'm talking about the 1930s with baseball and players. And it's always been contentious. It's always been an us against them, type of a proposition. And there's a lot of mistrust that has been built up over the years, you know, because of that. From the player's perspective, they're looking at it as, what are you going to take away from us right now that when we get back to the bargaining table for the next collective bargaining agreement isn't going to be on that table again? Like, are you taking this away?
That's it, Vinny. That's exactly it. Because right. that, and people wouldn't, I mean, unfortunately, it's played out in the public more so than the NHL and the NBA and even the NFL, you know, for that matter, because the NFL's got the luxury of waiting. But it's played out, and because of this contention, because of what Fred said, that the ownership is trying to paint put the players in a box, that they got to defend themselves of why they're not playing tomorrow, because they got to get through these negotiations that the owners say, well, you know, sign this for this year, and then it turns out that this is going to be, in fact, law for years to come, because of this 1 year that they gave into. So that they have to be careful in that respect. I mean, I know we're going through this crazy times, but this business is still business.
Yeah.
It's time for good call.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Bad call.
I may have to hang up on him.
Hey, don't miss Dodger Replay weeknights at 7. Tonight's game features the Dodgers' 21-5 win over the Brewers in 2018. Most runs ever scored by a team at Dodger Stadium. It's brought to you by Children's Hospital of Los Angeles. Your child's health, of course, is essential. All right, let me give you five records. Let me give you five NBA records. You ready? Wilt Chamberlain, 50-point scoring average. Wilt Chamberlain amassing nearly 24,000 regular season rebounds for his career. Wilt Chamberlain scoring 100 points in a game. The 1971 Lakers winning 33 straight games. The 2015 Warriors winning 73 regular season games. There's five. What is the toughest record to break? Is it a good call or a bad call to say the toughest record would be Wilt Chamberlain's scoring average of 50 points a game? Rodney.
Yes. And if that's not first, 100 points in a game is second. But yes, averaging 54 points in a game, I don't think we'll ever see again. I mean, think about the scores that we've had with Jordan and Curry and Durant, you know, LeBron, they're in the 29-35 range of scoring. Harden, to get to 54, no, average 54 points, no, that will never be broken.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the amount of shots that it would take per game, the amount of minutes that you'd have to play per game, it's just, it's impossible. Nobody would want, I mean, you'd have to play 48 minutes a game, basically, and you'd have to shoot the ball 30 times a game, probably, to get that
at least.
Right. I mean, that's how many. None of your teammates are going to be okay with that. Your coach isn't going to be okay with that, and you're probably not going to win because of that. So, yeah, that's, to me, that's a record that's never going to be broken.
Yeah, I would agree with you. 50 points a game. Who in the NBA today would have that shot? James Harden.
James Harden, Greek Freak, maybe.
I think James Harden,
Steph
too.
Because he did too many balls to go around. Clay's going to get his, and whoever they bring in is going to get theirs, so Steph wouldn't be there. James Harden, you know, it goes down because Westbrook's going to take the ball away from him from time to time, so he's not going to be able to get that.
I once asked LeBron James if his teammates were totally cool with it, his coaches were okay with it, and he was feeling it on one night, if he just went for it, scored as many points as he possibly could, you know, how many points do you think you could score? And I remember him telling me, I think he said something like, yeah, I could probably go for like 70 or so. He goes, but you know what? I would never do that. He goes, it's not in my blood. If I see the open man, I'm going to make the pass to the open man. So even if my coaches were okay with it, my teammates were okay with it, I was feeling it, I was on fire, I'm just not wired to do that. So it said a lot about him that he wouldn't even consider doing something like that. But he probably could. You know, if he just decided that he was going to go for it, man, it would be interesting to see how far he could take it.
All right. And remember this, he averaged 50 points a game, and there were no three-point shots. Of course, he would have shot them anyway. It speaks to his dominance when he played. Yet when you're talking about the greatest center in basketball history, he's not in that, he's not even in the conversation. He's a center in basketball history, but he wouldn't be considered the greatest center. Yet he scored 50 points a game at a time where there were no three-point shots.
Yeah, it's incredible how they forget how dominant he was. You know, Jerry West to tell you. Jerry West to tell you how dominant he was. Yeah. Interesting. All right, so we had the match. Phil Mickelson, after doing this twice, says the match should be an annual event. The second installment of the match was a huge success and drew gigantic ratings with Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Tiger Woods, and Phil Mickelson all taking the course to raise money for charity. It seems that we have not seen the last of the four legends on the golf course, though. Mickelson discussed the future of the event with our own Arash Mikazi of the LA Times, and it appears the match could become an annual event. I don't know what specifically it would look like, but it would be a competition while also being entertaining and getting the right mixture of individuals to have their personalities come out the way Peyton and Tom shined in this last event. They were humanized and their golf game, they were humanized with their golf game, and yet they were competitive and they were funny and entertaining. They let their sense of humor come out. It's about finding the right mix of those competitors, and I don't think we could get two better guys than who we had in Peyton Manning and Tom. Going forward, that will be the challenge. How do we improve on that? Good call or bad call for the match to become a yearly event involving stars from other sports? Fred.
It's a great call. That's what people want. I mean, we get caught up. We get caught up in, well, this is serious. It's the PGA. And we should talk a little quieter now about it. And the golf clap quietly. People don't want that anymore. They want to be entertained in everything they do. This is a different look at things. I think it's a great look. I think they should do it every year.
I agree. I watched the other day, and it was fun. It was entertaining. And I started thinking about, wow, who would I like to see in the next episode? And there isn't even a next episode. But if they you know, did one and continue to do it each year, I would totally be in on it. Guys, I just have to say this. I look back at Wilt Chamberlain the year he averaged 50 points a game. He averaged 48.5 minutes per game. So that was over. Obviously, they must have played some overtime games because he played every minute of the game and then some. And he averaged 39.5 shots per game. That is just, nobody's ever going to do that. No way.
39 shots a game. James Harden can do that in the first half.
Boom. Boomy.
Yes, he probably wants to.
No, the match was good. I thought it was really good. And yeah, they could come out, you know, creative personalities. Who wouldn't watch Barkley teaming up with somebody playing, you know, different guys out there playing? I think it does be the human element. When guys step outside their comfort zone and play another sport, it's always entertaining. It's always interesting to see, especially golf, you know, because those of us who play golf all know the struggles that we have on the golf course. And when you see people, you know, do it on TV that are non-golfers, non-professional golfers, it kind of, you know, we can relate to that. And so it's good to be, and I think it should be an annual event. I think it would do well.
Well, for that very reason, although this guy is a professional golfer, the people's golfer is John Daly. He's the guy you always root for. He does everything incorrectly. Nothing by the book. Don't smoke, don't drink. I'll do them both. Thank you. I'll show up what I want. Perfect. That's why you always root for John Daly. He's the contrarian. He's so different than everybody else. He looks like he's having a good time. I don't know, maybe he's miserable, but he sure looks like he's having fun, and I think that's what people want to see when they watch golf.
And if you ever want to accuse golfers of not being great athletes, all you had to do was watch Tom Brady, one of the greatest at his profession of all time, scuffling along the way he did, you know, looking so bad early on in that in that event. And it shows you how good these golfers are and that they are actually athletes. It takes a lot of athletic ability and then some to do what those guys do.
All right. How about a little Tyson versus Tyson? Tyson Fury, reigning WBC heavyweight champ, had a phone call. Not sure who made it, but here was the question. Would you like to fight Mike Tyson in an exhibition match? His response was, hell yeah, I would. But I don't think anything's materialized out of it. Now, in recent weeks, we know that Tyson has said, I'd like to come back. He's 53 now. I'd like to come back and fight an exhibition match for charity. That'd be good. I'd be in for that. So, by the way, Tyson Fury's 31 years old, and he's a monster. Is it a good call or a bad call for Mike Tyson to fight Tyson Fury for charity, Rodney?
I'll say this. It's a good call for Mike Tyson to fight Tyson Fury. It's a bad call for Tyson Fury to fight Mike Tyson. Tyson Fury don't want that right now. Even at 53, if you've seen Mike Tyson in the videos he's been putting out, plus Mike Tyson is notorious for having a, you know, good nights against taller fighters, getting inside with the body and things that he can do with his uppercut. And Tyson has nothing to lose. People will say he's old, oh, he's rusty, he's all this. He has nothing to lose if Fury goes out and maybe dominates him or wins the fight, wins the exhibition. But if, on the other side, if Tyson beats Fury or makes Fury look bad, it's downhill for Fury. He can't win in this situation because he's supposed to win. And if he loses, it'll throw the whole boxing world off kilter.
You actually think Mike Tyson can make Tyson Fury look bad?
Oh, yeah. 100%. Are you kidding me? Yes. Yes, he can.
At 53?
Absolutely. Absolutely he can. Mike Tyson looks as fast as he did at 19 as he does right now. and he's in the same kind of shape right now. And I may not go be able to go 12 rounds, but how many Tyson fights do go 12 rounds?
That's
or
fair.
Did go 12 rounds?
That's fair.
He give you a hard six, Fred.
Yep.
I don't know if you want a hard six from Tyson.
I don't want a hard six from anybody, Rodney.
That's a 33 for you and me, Fred.
You know, conversely, I'm with you on the no-win situation because Tyson Fury could really put one on Tyson and look bad as a result. I always remember my dad telling me about, and he was a huge Rocky Marciano fan, but he was also a huge Joe Louis fan. And Rocky Marciano fought Joe Louis at a time when Joe Louis was, you know, well beyond his prime, and he ravaged him and he knocked him out, and it shed poorer light on Marciano than it did Joe Louis. A lot of people were mad at Rocky Marciano. He didn't even really want to do it, but you know, it was a fight. He had to fight, and it was kind of a blemish on him rather than on Louis. So if that were to happen, I think Tyson Fury, you know, would catch the wrath of that. And to put all this in perspective, George Foreman, if we remember, he came back and he fought Evander Holyfield at 42 years old and lost. He lost that fight. But now we're talking about a 53-year-old, not 42-year-old, because George was super old when he came back to revive his career. And we all looked at him like, wow, you're crazy. What are you doing? But imagine now a 53-year-old former champion coming back. I don't know.
50's a new 40, Vic.
That's
Vinny.
True. That's true. But I want to see him. You know, if he is going to ever get to that point, he needs to fight some other fights first.
By the way,
show that
Evander Holyfield looks good too.
He does. He actually, yeah.
Well,
absolutely.
He's 57.
Wow, yeah, he's older. Yeah.
We're all getting old, guys.
I know, and that just means we shouldn't get in the boxing ring. I mean, we'll get old. That's fine.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, I'm not saying Mike Tyson couldn't pound the crap out of me. But I don't know if I want to see him go in there against 31-year-old Tyson Fury.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if Fury wants that fire.
He's good though. Fury's good. He's good.
Rogan and Rodney.
Rodney P.
Red Rogan.
Weekdays, noon to 3, right here.
AM 570 LA Sports.
Oh, I've got big news. I don't know if Kevin's gonna do this and it's lit.
Oh, don't do it, Fred. You dare do it.
I'm doing it when we come back.
Who to follow?
I'll be the voice of your followers.
I will follow!
Okay, I've got a good one today in Who to Follow. It features former Laker forward Meta World Peace. Very active on Twitter, often engages with his followers, asking basketball-related questions while seeking their response. Last week, he simply tweeted, Shaq and Kobe would have had 10 rings if they hadn't broken up. Let's debate. He also unsurprisingly pokes fun at himself whenever possible. Last week he tweeted, every time someone asks me who the greatest player is, I switch up my answers. Again, you can follow Meta on Twitter at Meta World Peace. I hope Kevin does not have this and it's lit. I know there were some controversial moments earlier in the week.
Earlier in the week? Try once a week.
Yeah, last 3 years.
like I said earlier in the week, there were some controversial moments when I inadvertently saw something and put it on before the It's Lit segment. Well, I have something today that's caught
Did
my eye.
Did you run this by Kevin? Did you ask him?
No.
Just to...
No.
Shocker.
Kind of what no, you're supposed I didn't. To do.
No, I know okay. that, but I didn't, and I found it. I think it's huge. I'm not sure if it's in It's Lit, but I'm doing it now because I think it's one of the biggest stories of the day. So, Rodney and Vinny, listen to this and tell me what you think the story is.
I can make a living from walking in the woods. You can bet I'd be sitting pretty good, high on a hill, looking at a field downwind.
Any ideas yet?
If I can make a nickel off turning in bass, never worry about the price of gas. I've been wheeling and dealing and sitting there reeling them in.
All right, get ready for it.
Hunting, fishing, loving every day. That's the prayer that a country boy prays. Thank God he made me this way. Hunting, fishing, loving every day.
Okay, Captain.
Early in the morning.
All right. I don't know if it's going to be an It's Lit. You heard the song. What do you think the story is? What do you think it is?
I have no idea, Fred. Absolutely no idea.
You took nothing from that?
Nothing.
Vinny, what did you take
other
from
than it was a country song.
Right.
Yeah, I'm a little stumped, but I'm going to go with, how about this?
Okay.
The co-founder of StubHub, who got fired by StubHub, and just recently rebought the company that he started for $4 billion 1 month before COVID-19 hit and basically wiped out StubHub. So he's taking, you know, obviously he tried to get some revenge and he bought it at just the wrong time for the whole thing to collapse. So that's the story I'm thinking about. I was just reading that story. So that's in my head.
Okay, so a song about hunting and fishing led you to believe that it was about StubHub.
Yes, because he was hunting the company back,
yeah,
and got it, was sitting up on the top, thought he was sitting up on the top of the hill if I was following those country words correctly,
yeah,
and then it just got toppled over. So that's the connection that I was making, Fred.
Okay, it has nothing to do with that.
Jeez, Benny, wow, that is
hey, I'm trying to fill time here, Rodney.
No, I don't think this is a time filler at all. I think
never played Password. Damn, yeah, right. Real. The password is house.
I love that show.
We go off on a tangent, dude. It had nothing to do with that.
Hey, man. I'm trying, guys.
No, here's the story.
All right.
Here's the story. The 2021, and this event is going to take place in 2021, and I think it's pretty big. The 2021 Bassmaster Classic.
Oh.
Will be March 19th through the 21st in Texas. The Super Bowl of fishing will be in Texas. Kevin, did you have that for It's Lit?
Damn it, Fred. That was my lead story.
See?
Jeez. Every time with this guy.
You know, the one thing we don't talk enough about, and I'm not killing time here. Because everybody knows I'm passionate about this is fishing.
You know, this is true.
This is true.
Right.
Yeah. You've been pitching that fishing trip for the last few
yeah,
years.
Yeah, I remember that.
The AM.
Everybody, when you pitch it to him, yeah, Fred. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's a good idea, Fred. Yeah. We'll get on that. Yeah, Fred.
Look, we had this idea. We had an idea, and I pitched it to Rodney and Kevin. And Rodney was in for the For the first annual AM 570 LA Sports fishing tournament. And we would get people to sign up, and we would go out, like the Bassmasters Classic, and we would have a fishing tournament. This is like the summer tour stops, Petros and Money. They're really good, but you know what? They're no fishing tournament. That's right. So anyway, Rodney, I gave you the idea. I told Kevin. I went and I told Don Martin.
Yeah, you did.
You know,
told everybody that would listen.
And you know what he said? I like the fishing tournament. Let's do a fishing tournament. I said, all right, this is great. So we started to work on it.
And I said, we'll take everybody out on a boat. We'll get a big boat, and we'll go into the ocean and have the fishing tournament. He goes, well, we can't take everybody on a boat. What if somebody fell off? What about the liability? The insurance? Where are we going to get a big boat? Okay, so that ended the boat. Then he said, we'll go like to Troutdale, which is closed. Remember Troutdale where they stock it with trout?
Oh, it's closed?
It's closed.
Oh.
Then he said this. Then he said this. But we'll go someplace where they do stock it. But here's the problem. For every fish you catch, you have to pay. So everybody can only catch one fish. And whatever fish you catch, that's your fish. So if it's the biggest one, you win. I said, well, you can't keep going. No. Everybody can catch one fish.
No, you can't throw them back?
Once you catch the fish, that's it. You can throw it back, but you can't fish again, or you have to pay twice.
Oh.
So we said, we can't do that. So they shot down my boat idea. Then we had to pay for too many fish. So we were looking for a lake.
Wait, if you throw the fish back, do you still got to pay for it?
Yeah, you catch it per fish. You throw it back, they expect you to throw it back.
Oh, you're going to take it home and eat it?
It's a charity event.
It's a charity.
No, I'm talking about regular. I mean, just the general public when they go. They got to pay for the fish if they throw it back?
You catch a fish, you pay.
Really?
Yeah, but because if you catch a fish and throw it back.
It's a fish again.
No,
the fish. It's repopulating.
The fish is tainted.
Why?
Because once the fish has come out of the water and caught, it's been a caught fish. You throw it back, fine.
Oh, my goodness.
So you,
I hope our fishermen, that people that love the fish are listening to you right now, Fred, and just going,
No, wait a minute. If anybody,
Fred don't know what the hell he's talking about.
I want to know, if you've caught a fish and thrown it back, do you not?
Yes, I have.
Do you ever catch the same fish twice?
No, I'm not done that. Okay. I know people that have, though.
Same fish?
Yeah, the fish comes. They're chasing the bait.
Fish.
They have short memory, Fred. They you know, short-term memory loss. You know, they come back and chase the bait. They smell the bait. They're hungry. So, yeah, you throw them back, and they circle around the same area.
That's the damnedest thing you say that. Very much in my life, I've lived the same way. I've had short-term memory loss, and I've chased the bait, but I've never caught anything.
Weekdays at noon. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peake. After the Herd.
And on the iHeart Radio app.
Rogan and Rodney.